Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just saw that Alex Ovechkin's preseason goal last night for the Capitals was his first in 4 years of preseason games.
That's crazy.
He'll go down as the all-time goal scorer, probably. I would imagine he's going to overtake Wayne Gretzky, but whether he does or he doesn't, I mean, it's harder to score goals now than it was when Gretzky was playing. He'll go down as the GOAT when it comes to goal scoring. He went 4 years of preseason games without scoring before last night.
He's like, I'm not going to waste them. I'm not wasting these bolts on these games that don't count. Because it's not like he comes out in a slump either. He usually starts off leading the league in goals. It's at 20 before December.
We got a pair right now of opening night tickets for a Caps fan. Let's go caller number 9 in honor of Dmitry Orlov. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets. You're seeing the Caps and the Bruins, Capital One Arena, 6 days from now, 7 p.m., Capitals home opener, presented by Geico. Buy your tickets now at washcaps.com/tickets. They're giving out schedule magnets that night. Rock the red carpet starts at 3 o'clock. Player arrivals, fan activations, all kinds of fun activities. For tickets, go to washcaps.com/tickets. Again, we are 6 days away from the opener, and we should let you know that tomorrow we're giving away two more pairs at 3 and at 4 ahead of the season opening game. So make sure you're listening. All right, right now, though, without further ado, I want to talk football and get into a Thursday night football preview and go around the league with a guy we've thoroughly enjoyed having the show over the years when he was with PFF, and he's now at a brand new company, Summer Sports. So, Eric, thank you for the time. Eric Eager is with us on G&D. Good to have you back on, man. How are you?
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, dude. Break this one down tonight. This is, you know, I don't know what to make of these teams, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not happy that this is the Thursday night game right now, but it is. We're going to deal with it accordingly. I don't know who the Colts are. I don't know what's going on with the Broncos. What do you see?
Yeah, our friend Al Michaels, I don't know if he exactly knew what he was signing up for when he went from Sunday night football to Thursday night football. But, yeah, it's one, you know, you look at the Colts, you know, many had them, you know, winning the AFC South. They were favorites by the time the markets closed. And other than kind of a miracle come from behind win against the Chiefs, they really haven't been able to do much so far this year. The Broncos, you know, they've won two games at least. But when you look at that offense, it's like, Russell Wilson, at what he does well, it's tough to see the Broncos, receivers doing that. Sutton's kind of a middle of the field guy. You know, Judy's kind of a get open slant guy, and Wilson's kind of a throw for the 50-50 ball down the sideline guy, and it really hasn't gelled so far.
Eric Eager, VP Research Development for Sumer Sports. So I want to dive deeper into Wilson with you for a second. How sure are we that he's still really good? Why has he stopped running completely? And if he doesn't run and scramble, if that's no longer part of his game, can he still be Russell Wilson that we all kind of knew was worth the money Denver just gave him?
Yeah, and we did see a little bit of him running the football the other day, in the Sunday night game, and as well as the Raiders game, he wasn't terribly effective. Yeah, you know, he's always been a guy. You know, Metcalf and Lockett are much different receivers than Judy and Sutton are. And, you know, I think that a quarterback who is that dependent on the style of his receivers is never going to be in that sort of elite tier anymore. And I think that that's where Russ finds himself.
From the Colts' perspective, I thought just having an adult in Matt Ryan that everybody likes and is so good pre-snap, et cetera, would lead to some offensive cohesion. They can't do diddly or squadoosh for quarters at a time. Obviously, no Jonathan Taylor right now, but Matt Ryan leads the universe in fumbles, tied with Carson Wentz for interceptions. It's gross. I thought these offense would at least be okay, but they're reprehensible at times.
Yeah, and I went to that Kansas City game, and even though they won, you know, it's very clear that Matt Ryan doesn't have a whole lot left physically. And, you know, as you said, he's an adult in the room. He's won an MVP. He's really good in those offenses that are kind of run-first, play-action type offenses. But unfortunately, I think even that, you know, time has passed him by. And, you know, I don't know if it gets better. Pittman's been good. Alec Pierce has been good. Offensive line isn't great, but, you know, a good left tackle is not walking through that door. So I don't really know, you know, what Matt Ryan's going to be able to do here for the second part of the season.
Eric Eager is with us, spinning us around the NFL on Grant and Danny. All right, let's go through some of the divisions and just take some big picture looks at things. NFC North, right now the Vikings lead the division at 3-1, tiebreaker over the Packers. I feel like if Green Bay played Minnesota this weekend, not only would they be favored, but they'd probably win that game, though. How do you feel about those two teams atop that division?
Yeah, Green Bay is still favored, I think, about minus 130, minus 140 to win that division on the betting market. So I think your intuition's correct. They get the Vikings at home later in the year. It was good on the Vikings. You know, they had Green Bay at a good time in week one. That's always kind of when they struggle. They had them at home, and they took care of business. They took care of business against Detroit in a game where I think they got outplayed. And then last week beat a Saints team that came back on them a little bit in a game I think older Vikings regimes blow. So, you know, they're 3-1. You can't take that away from them. They have an easy schedule, whereas Green Bay has a harder schedule moving forward. If I had to make a bet, I think at market prices, I probably would take the Vikings to win that division, you know, the rest of the season, because you're getting a plus number there.
NFC South, Tampa, you know, 2-2 offense hasn't gotten going yet with injuries. I think they'll be fine because the defense is good. Atlanta's frisky. I never got the New Orleans attention or positive that they were getting. I think Carolina's bad. Just sort of give me your assessment here of the NFC South and how does it shake out?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise in the NFL so far has been how good the Falcons are on the offensive line. I mean, they really move the football. That's the vision that Arthur Smith had, you know, when he brought over that Tennessee Titans kind of offense to the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, they are, you know, Patterson's been injured a little bit, but, you know, for the most part, they've been able to move people. They've been able to get Mariota out on the, you know, exterior of the defensive play action. It's really worked for them. I mean, they're 4-0 against the number, the only team in the NFL this year that hasn't been beaten against the spread. And, you know, I think they're a little bit of a spunky team. I think the Saints are obvious underachievers. Sean Payton was probably worth more than everybody gave him credit for. And then, you know, I do think Carolina, if they're not the worst team in the NFL, they're pretty close. So that to me, I think, is where you look at Tampa Bay. Per PFF strength of schedule, they have the easiest schedule moving forward. So I think if you're looking to bet a Super Bowl team right now that's down a little bit, Tampa Bay is the team to do it.
Interesting. Yeah, they just haven't looked right, but finally snapped out of it offensively, at least while chasing the Chiefs for a few quarters in primetime the other night. Eric Eager here on Grant and Danny. NFC East here localizing things. Washington is in the basement for the moment. Giants are 3-1, maybe not authentic. Eagles are 4-0 and look like the truth. Cowboys have won 3 straight without Dak. How do you see this division?
Yeah, Washington's disappointing to me because I thought at least they had some of the personnel on defense to be fairly good. And, you know, they haven't been bad defensively the last couple weeks, but they, you know, they can't score on offense. And I thought their offensive line was at least going to be, you know, average enough to get the job done even without Brandon Scherff. And that just hasn't been the case. You couple that with the fact that Carson Wentz, you know, is just kind of one of those guys who, you know, proves the adage that, you know, sacks are a quarterback stat. And he hasn't been able to, you know, build on what was a pretty good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, was a pretty good second half against the Lions. He has not been able to build off of that the last few weeks, unfortunately. So I think, you know, it's the Eagles and Cowboys again. I think the Eagles are a better side than the Cowboys right now, but obviously that can change. The Eagles, though, easy enough schedule. I don't think they're going to be an underdog in any game the rest of the year.
One of our favorites, Eric Eager, with us here on G&D. NFC West, everybody's 2-2. No, seriously, everybody's 2-2. Again, a couple teams I can't quite figure out. Seattle's better than we thought. Arizona is doing something. The Rams look a little bit hungover and limited on offense, and the 49ers are only good when they play the Rams. What else you got?
That's a good summary. As you said, like the Rams went from 6-point favorites this week against Dallas on the look ahead to now they're only 4.5 against the backup quarterback at home, which tells you what the market believes of the Rams. The Niners just match up really well with them. I think it's going to be the Niners in this division just because Stafford, as you said, like they could really use Odell Beckham and Von Miller, and neither one of those guys is really coming through that door yet. Whereas the Niners, they look, Jimmy G looks like he's running that offense the way he always has, which on good years, that'll get you the NFC title game. So, I don't think much of Arizona. I think Seattle, the Geno Smith thing is fun, but I don't think that's going to last very long. So, yeah, I think it's San Francisco. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if only like two teams or one team from this division made the playoffs.
We finally got to see Kenny Pickett this past week for the Steelers. He'll make his first start this weekend. He threw three picks, but all three of those picks hit his intended receivers in the hands before they were intercepted, and he had 10 completions otherwise and rushed for two touchdowns. That schedule they've got in the next month, though, is treacherous. I guess you just throw him in there and you see if he can swim, huh?
Yeah, it shows the dichotomy between, the AFC and the NFC where, we were just talking about, teams like Washington and New York and all of them in the NFC can all, do something despite not being very good. If you're a kind of not very good team in the AFC, your schedule is going to be so hard for you. And I think that's where Pittsburgh is. I think they're really going to test, the Mike Tomlin no losing season streak very much this year. I think Pickett's going to be a good player. I don't know why they didn't start him right away. But I think Pickett's going to be a good player. But unfortunately, I don't think it's going to matter that much. I think you're going to have to look, much like with Trevor Lawrence last year in Jacksonville, you're going to have to look for the positives in the losing.
Eric, last year the Tennessee Titans, Washington's opponent this week, got blown out in week one and ended up losing to the Jets in week number four. They were 2-2 through 4 weeks. They went on to be 12-5. You see where I'm going here. They got Washington here in week number five. They have a blowout loss on their ledger already, and they are 2-2, but they're playing a little bit better recently. What do you make of them, and how bad is it going to be for us this weekend?
Yeah, I bet Washington like every week this year, except for when they play Detroit. And I'm going back to the well. I just don't see the Titans being good enough. I know Jeffrey Simmons is a good player, and I know Bud Dupree is able to get to the passer. But, without Harold Landry, I don't see them really being able to press Washington that much at the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. No Taylor Lewan there. And the quarterback with Tannehill, Tannehill is kind of in that same equivalence class for me of Carson Wentz. He's a little bit better, but, very dependent upon circumstances. Treylon Burks got hurt last week. That kind of helped the Colts get back into that game. So I think for me, it's going to be a much closer game than I think Washington fans who've been discouraged by the first few weeks of the season probably expect.
Yeah, that'll be ideal if they can play a little bit cleaner, protect the quarterback, keep Carson Wentz upright this coming weekend at FedEx Field. On the Commanders, I'm just curious, all the studying, all the numbers you crunch, do you have thoughts, bigger picture, on either Del Rio's defense, Turner's offense? Right now they're 32nd in yards per play moving the ball. They're bottom five in the league defensively as well.
Yeah, to me, I actually like what Scott Turner's been able to do there. I thought he was much better last year than he was given credit for. Unfortunately, I think me, much like most other people, thought that Wentz was going to be a significant upgrade over Heinicke, and just so far he has not been. And that, is discouraging. When you get Brian Robinson back possibly this week, I think that'll help because I think Antonio Gibson is not that great of a running back. But the fact is you have Jahan Dotson, you have Terry McLaurin, you have Curtis Samuel, all are better than what they've shown so far. And I think the protection is going to have to be the big one. And this was one of those teams last year that was one of the best in terms of perfectly blocked runs, perfectly blocked passes. You're not getting that as much this year. And maybe that has to do with the opponent so far. And maybe that has to do with, Carson Wentz and his inability to, do things at the line of scrimmage to help his play caller, Scott Turner.
What do you make of Scott Turner?
I think he does a lot of the right things. He runs play action. He runs motion. He does, he kind of negotiates box counts, so in the run game, his team has a chance. I just think last year, Heinicke and Gibson let him down. Antonio Gibson last year averaged like 4.5 yards a carry when the play was perfectly blocked. Jonathan Taylor, by contrast, averaged twice that. on perfectly blocked run plays. So there were just, I think, you know, offensive, you know, skill position players that just let Scott Turner down last year. It's kind of happening again this year, which is unfortunate because they did go out and trade draft picks to upgrade at quarterback. They did, you know, use a draft pick on an upgrade at running back. Now that guy got hurt. You know, I was expecting bigger things. We'll see if he can coach his way out of this, because I do think he has a clue as far as, you know, some of the analytics and things like that, as far as what makes good offense. I just don't know if he has the personnel.
This is breaking a radio rule, probably. I'm asking a very specific question that only really matters to me, but I have your expertise on right now, and I want to take advantage of it. Your boy is one of six remaining people in a survivor pool that started, believe it or not, a month ago with over 80 people. So that just tells you about the NFL season so far, that we're down to six already.
Okay.
This weekend, I'm leaning toward the Bucs. I don't think they lose another game this quickly. So I kind of like Tampa Bay over Atlanta, but the Falcons have been frisky as hell. They're 2-2. Do you like that, or is there another team or two that or is more intriguing?
And Tampa's at home. I like that. That number has moved out from 8.5 to 9.5. So they're, you know, you would certainly have market support there. You don't want to take Jacksonville. You don't want to take Minnesota. Those two teams have upset written all over them. The Packers might be the other one if you haven't used them yet. They get a Giants team that's banged up at quarterback and wide receiver, you know, in London. I think the team with a coach who's coached a while is going to have an edge over a team with a first year coach when it's stuff like London. So that's a survivor pick.
I like that. I used the Packers. The other team I was considering other than the Bucks was the Bills over the Steelers with Pickett making his debut.
Yeah, it depends upon. So here's the thing. So some of these survivor pools make you pick a one of the three games in Thanksgiving, and the Bills play the Lions on Thanksgiving, so you kind of want to save them if that's a consideration for you. If not, that's a good one. Like, the Bills probably will eat up Pickett in that game, no doubt in my mind. The other one, and this, you know, you might have used this team already in week. Well, if you did use them in week one, you wouldn't be alive anymore. But the Niners against the Panthers, that one's going to be a laugher.
Okay, I like that. I might take San Francisco.
You don't need to plan for Thanksgiving. They're down to 6 in week 4, Eric. You know what I'm saying? Like, they started with
point,
lots.
My normal strategy is, all right, let me plan this out. Let me look 3 weeks down the road. I'm literally trying to survive this
now.
Week.
Yeah, you stay alive no matter what occurs.
I'll figure out the rest. I'm Jack and Rose on the door and hoping I see a boat here sooner rather than later. Eric, thank you, man. We really appreciate the info.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, be good. Eric Eager does an awesome job covering the league, breaking down all the numbers. He's with Sumer Sports now after several years of joining us representing PFF. So good to have him back on the show. So what's your gut feel for tonight? Colts and Broncos. I'm out on Indy. It feels kind of good to be free again.
You're free of them.
Yeah, I was for some reason, I just was wearing it. Like, I was, you know, a fan of theirs or something. And with all these letdown losses, I was kicking myself. Now I'm single again. I don't have to worry about the Colts.
That's right.
I fell for Hard Knocks. It happens. The Hard Knocks cologne in season last year, loving Ballard and Reich and the entire operation and the culture there and all their veteran players are awesome. I think some of the best dudes in football run that locker room. But it doesn't matter anymore. They're 1-2-1, and they never live up to expectations. I will tell you my master plan. This is my in my dream world scenario.
Ooh.
My master plan is the Colts go 5-11-1 or whatever. They blow everybody out. Washington has also made that decision, and then Chris Ballard is their GM next year. He hires a coach who picks a quarterback in the top 10.
That would be crazy.
Now, a lot of people don't like Chris Ballard because the Colts haven't won, but all I can tell you is, everything other than quarterback there has been done perfectly. They just can't solve quarterback.
They won 11 games with Phil Rivers moving around like me.
Andrew Luck just said, see you guys later. And ever since then, they have been grasping at straws and getting things wrong. I understand that he's botched the quarterback position. I promise you he knows what he's doing. He's built a real organization. So you give me Ballard, who hires a coach, who hires a quarterback, and they all work in unison and harmony. I would be really, really excited. But that's a pipe dream. That's not a thing.
I'm in on that.
Anyways, Colts, Broncos tonight. What do you think?
At a certain point, Denver just has to be better than this. That offense can't be this bad. Even if you don't think Russell Wilson is any good anymore, it just can't be like this. It can't be a group that's the worst at scoring the football. in the league. Yes, this many capable offensive pieces, this many things that are positive. You just can't be this abominably awful. I keep thinking it's going to happen at some point. It hasn't happened in 4 weeks, but Russell Wilson will move outside the pocket and hit somebody deep one time. I think Denver wins this game. They're favored by 3.5 because the Colts kind of have a stink on them right now. I just don't see it. I don't like it. Maybe they turn it around. They did last year, but I think they're gross.
I think the game will be close. If this game was in Indy, I would probably pick the Colts because I can't help myself, but I will pick the Broncos. That is one of the true home field advantages that gets slept on a little bit in the league. That is a very loud stadium. One of the loudest I've ever been in. And also, the Mile High thing is real.
It's a thing.
Like, even if it doesn't affect you, it mentally taxes you. They put up signs in every locker. They pass out little pieces of paper. Hey, if you're feeling anything, tell somebody. I mean, they're trying to get in your head from the second you get off the bus at that stadium. I think it's a real advantage.
I get so steamed up when the opposing team has an incompletion and the crowd cheers.
Come, please.
That's so awesome. I love that. It's great. Wish we could have things like that.
We don't have those.
We have fans in the stands?
We have a couple of those. Sometimes there are fans. Sometimes they're burgundy and gold clad wearing fans, which is nice. My main storyline tonight is, what does Russell Wilson look like?
It's the story, Grant. It's one of these stories in football.
We're over talking about it a little bit, but it's not just this year, man. His quarterback rating, or not quarterback rating, but his QBR last year was 54.7. It's terrible this year, 44.9. But these are the two worst QBRs of his career. It's not like he's 22, man.
No.
He's 34 years old. I guess he's 33, but this is his age 34 season. He turns 34 in a month or so. He doesn't run. We were all clapping and celebrating and throwing a party the other night because he scrambled for 17 yards. That was a big deal.
It was. I mean, and last year, worst year of his career since the phase two of Russell Wilson, when he was just checking it down and handing it off to Marshawn Lynch, you know. But he was.
How are Seahawks fans feeling? Geno is
pretty good, right?
Not only playing better than Russell Wilson's played so far this year, Geno's given him more than Russell's done in dating back 2 years.
Well, he was still on pace for, you know, not a ton of yards, but 30 touchdowns and like 9 or 10 picks. Right?
Geno's doing that.
And so the idea that Russell Wilson just simply can't anymore, I just kind of didn't believe that. I'm starting to believe that. Like, oh my God, it is jarring to watch. Like, a guy that, I mean, Eric's point was that he was so dependent on receivers of a certain kind, and I guess I could buy some of that, but this whole, you know, let Russ cook, maybe the coaches did know better. You know, maybe the old dinosaur was right. They should hand it off to Rashad Penny and no-name dudes 1,000 times a game. I don't know. It's the fact that he's not scrambling around and playmaking like he used to do, back-breaking moves to opponents. That's not happening anymore.
There's
he's
a lot of football left, but Pete Carroll looks pretty smart right now.
I know.
I'm not ready to crown him or throw Russ into the, you know, pile of discarded quarterbacks just yet. But they gave up so much. I mean, they gave up so much. And on top of that, then they went out and gave him an extension. Geno, by the way, through four games, completing 77% of his passes with over 1,000 yards and a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio so far. If you missed any part of today's show, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio is where you can podcast it. Eric Flack, great on Dan Snyder. What's going on with him? Eric Eager. It was the Eric Show.
So many Erics.
Just moments ago, breaking down football. We're back for a Football Friday tomorrow. Should be good.
We're going to talk about a game that they got to have, quite frankly. Like, they have to have it.
They have to.
You know who they are?
Washington.
They have to.
They need to.
Have to.
Got to have it.
Got to have it.
Very important.
They just have to.
Have to.
Very important that they have it, gentlemen.
Yep.
Must.
Must.
Must have it.
Elon
Musk. Daris and Ryan. Love is Ryan. G&D saying so long on the Fan.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.